Thank you for joining us today. I'm Courtney Keating, the Director of Environmental, Social, and Governance Research at Glass Lewis. Today, we're going to be discussing a shareholder proposal at Navient Corporation, requesting the company issue a report on the governance measures that Navient has implemented to more effectively monitor and manage financial and reputational risks related to the student loan crisis in the U.S. Additionally, the proponent is asking Navient to report on whether or not it has assigned responsibility for such monitoring to the board or to one or more of its seats, or if it has revised senior executive compensation metrics or policies in response to this issue. Given the publicity around the student loan crisis and that this is a new proposal, we thought the clients might benefit from some insight into the background of and the rationale behind this proposal. In order to give us this insight, we have the proponents of the proposal joining us today. Specifically, we have Sarah Ann Lewis, the senior lead researcher for the AFL-CIO, and Seth Magaziner, the general treasurer, and Kelly J. Rogers, the deputy treasurer for policy and public finance, both from the office of the state treasurer of Rhode Island. So before we get into the details of the shareholder proposal, I know that proxy voting and shareholder activism is a relatively new issue for the office of the treasurer of Rhode Island. I was hoping that Seth might be able to give us a little bit of background on this evolution and how their thinking behind these issues has evolved in recent years.
Sure. So thank you very much for the opportunity to join you today, Courtney. This is Seth Magaziner. I'm the state treasurer in Rhode Island. I took office about 3 years ago, and as you mentioned, prior to that, Rhode Island had not been very active with shareholder advocacy or proxy voting at all. The state of Rhode Island, our retirement system, is the primary source of retirement income for about 60,000 Rhode Islanders, active employees and retired. This is the retirement system for all of our state's public school teachers, for all of our state employees, and for many of our municipal and first responders. And we are long-term investors. You know, I have people in the pension system in Rhode Island who are 100 years old, and I have people who are, first is 23 years old, who are still going to be in the system 60 or 70 years from now. So for me, shareholder engagement comes from our identity as a long-term investor. We have to be thinking about performance and about risk management in generational terms, and we want to push the companies that we are investing in to also think for the long term. So when I took office 3 years ago, we started the process of having Rhode Island become more active. As a shareholder, we adopted new proxy voting policies. We started working with various shareholder networks, and we started putting our own proposals on the ballot, including this one that we've worked on with the AFL-CIO and with the state of Connecticut. This is an issue that we look at as being about shareholder value. Now, there's a crisis in this country. It is already affecting millions of Americans, and we want to make sure that companies that we invest in that are at the center of the storm, so to speak, are prepared for it and are taking appropriate steps to protect shareholders from those risks. But at the end of the day, this all for us ties back to the fact that we are long-term investors as a pension fund, and we want to make sure that we are investing in companies that also manage risk with a focus on the long term.
Great. Thank you so much for that background, Seth. That was really interesting. And now that we have some of that context behind your evolution into shareholder activism, I'd love for you to give us some background behind why you chose to submit this proposal to Navient at this time.
Sure. Well, as I mentioned earlier, there is a real student loan crisis in this country. You know, this is a issue that, you know, perhaps if you are in the baby boomer generation or even older, you haven't had to think about a lot. But for the younger generations, for millennials who are going to college and graduating from college burdened by student loan debt, even for Gen Xers who you know, have kids who are approaching college age, student lending and student debt is a huge economic issue. We're now at the point where 8 million Americans are in default on their student loans. That's 8 million that are already in default at a time when the economy is relatively strong. And so we're very concerned about what is going to happen if these trends continue, as the cost of college continues to rise, as student debt as a share of household wealth continues to grow. And then eventually, you know, especially if there is another economic correction at some point, what will be the impact on the student loan industry from that? So there's a huge national issue here that's brewing. You know, another thing that people may not realize is that there's now more student debt outstanding in our country than credit card debt. You know, for consumers, student loans now are the second largest form of debt, only after mortgages. So this is becoming a bigger and bigger economic reality, and it's one that I think we as a country and also we as investors are not fully prepared for. So Navient Corporation is the largest servicer of student loan debt in the country. They're not necessarily the lender, but they're the debt collector, so to speak. They're the ones who are responsible for, you know, calling you up and nagging you if you're not current with your student loans. And in particular, as a servicer for federal student loans, they have the responsibility of assisting borrowers who run into trouble move into more flexible payment plans. They're the largest company in the United States that does this type of work. They are the point of contact. They are the face of student loans for millions of borrowers. I like to play this game sometimes when I'm speaking to groups about this, where I'll ask for a show of hands who's heard of Navient, and almost nobody above the age of 40 raises their hand, but like everybody below the age of 40 does, right? So they're very much in the center of this. And we want to make sure, again, as investors, that they are prepared to manage the risks associated with this looming thundercloud of the student loan crisis, because this is an issue that is only growing. It's only becoming more pressing. And there is some sort of a reckoning, we want to make sure that our investment is protected.
Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense. So I was hoping that maybe you could tell us a bit about why you chose to work with the AFL-CIO on this issue.
Well, experience. I mean, shareholder arena, as you mentioned, we've only done a couple of shareholder proposals ourselves in the state of Rhode Island. And so for something like this that is new and that is on such a large of tremendous public importance, we wanted to partner with an organization that had experience both with navigating the proxy voting process and also experience on the student loan issue specifically. So we knew that the AFL had done some work in this arena before, and they've been great partners in this effort.
Great. Thank you. So I'm hoping we could talk a bit about your experience with Navient to date. Have you engaged with the company, and what has that experience been like, if you have?
Yeah, you know, we've certainly had conversations with them over the last 2 years. We had a different version of a proposal with them last year, and then this is, you know, our second year working to try to wrap our heads around whether or not they're managing the conversations. But to be honest with you, thus far, those conversations have not progressed very far. You know, the company has taken the position that they're doing enough and that they're disclosing enough, and we just have a disagreement about that. You know, if you look at what they have published, you know, in their annual report and so on, there's very little mention of the student loan crisis, and there's very little clarity in terms of how they're managing it, either at a board level or at a staff level through their compensation policies. So we as investors don't feel that we have the level of transparency that we need to feel confident that the company is addressing these risks appropriately. That's why we've taken the step of you know, bringing it to the ballot. You know, we certainly have had conversations with the company before, and we would welcome any future conversations. But at this point, we haven't gotten the level of transparency that we were hoping for. And really, I mean, what we're requesting here is not unreasonable. I mean, we're not asking for certainly anything proprietary or anything that, you know, could be construed as being, you know, a micromanagement of the company. We really just want to know at a high level, in terms of governance and compensation, how are they integrating these risks from the brewing student loan crisis into their deliberations?
Mm-hmm. The company, in its response to this proposal, talks a lot about the disclosures that it already has, the charters of its committees. It's right, the risk factors it discloses in its 10K. I'm curious if you could be kind of more specific about exactly what types of disclosure you're looking for from this proposal.
Yeah, so, you know, there's a number of things that we don't know based on what has been disclosed. We don't know, for example, about whether executive compensation has been revised in any way to integrate risk management related to the student loan crisis. We don't necessarily know, while we know at a general level that they say that they manage risk as a board, we don't know specifically about what is contained in the risk appetite framework, you know, to manage these risks. So what we want to know is, okay, you say that you're not at any risk from the student loan crisis. How will you know when you are, right? Like, how will you know when you have, you know, how do you measure it? How do you monitor it? And how do you know when you've crossed the threshold that does warrant some action? Right now, aside from a very broad statement that, you know, where they essentially say, yeah, we are looking at it, we don't really know anything else. We don't know how they, as I say, measure, monitor, or define even the student loan crisis, and so we need a little more clarity.
Got it. That makes sense. Then the last question I have is, are there other companies that are exposed to the types of risks that you have identified at Navient? The company says something about it having a lower default rate than its peers, and you know that it's not as exposed to risk as some other companies, and you know that it's compared to. I'm curious if you could talk about why Navient in particular is being targeted, given that it says that it's kind of a lower risk than others in its industry.
Yeah, so a couple of reasons. The first is, you know, we can choose different peer groups to compare a company's performance against. From what we've seen, Navient's default rate and also the level of complaints that the CFPB is collecting related to Navient are in line or in some cases above peers. But I also think, you know, when we think about the reputational risks that a company can be exposed to, being the market leader comes with a added degree of public scrutiny and sometimes public scorn, right? As I said, I mean, when I'm in a room with people under age of 40, they've all heard of Navient because Navient is the big player, right? And so if there or regulatory as a result of the student loan crisis, Navient is certainly going to be caught up in it, if for no other reason than because they're one of the largest and most publicly known players in the space. We also know that they're the target of a number of lawsuits already from both state attorneys general and from the CFPB. So, you know, I don't think it's fair for them, you know, because by some metrics, we do better than some of our peers, we're going to be immune from any ill effects of this crisis. You know, clearly, there's already been legal action taken against the company. There's already been some headline risk, and I think that'll only grow in the future unless the company does a good job of, again, measuring, monitoring, and managing its risks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you think the fact that the company is caught up in these legal disputes in these lawsuits, that there's any, reason why it's not disclosing this information as a result of those lawsuits. I mean, do you think that plays into kind of their lack of disclosure in this area to any degree?
So that is not an argument that the company has advanced, certainly to us in our conversations or in their communications to shareholders about our proposal. So that is not something that we've come across. And again, we're not looking to get into the level of detail, even of specific loan servicing practices. We're not asking them to report on what's being said to borrowers over the phone from their call center or anything like that. We're really talking about governance. We're talking about it at a very high level. Again, what's the board doing? How does the board look at these risks? What does the rubric look like? How do they measure it? How do they, monitor it? And what role, if any, it has in executive comp? So I can't imagine that any of that would have a material impact on these lawsuits. And if it would, I mean, again, the company has not communicated that to us.
Great. Thank you. That was really informative. Is there anything else you would like shareholders to keep in mind when they're reviewing this proposal or when they're, casting their votes at the company?
Yeah, I'd just say whenever I'm reading a shareholder proposal and whenever we're deciding on how to vote, you get into the weeds and you get into the legalese, and it's important to do that. It's important to understand the detail. But then I always make a point of, at the end, taking a big step back and thinking about the big picture. And the big picture here is that the student loan issue, this is an issue in our country that is not going away. It's only going to get bigger, and it's only going to be the source of more controversy if it is not managed well. Navient is, again, right in the center of this. They're one of the big players here. And so if there is going to be any sort of a fallout from the student loan crisis in this country in the coming years, there's a very good chance that they could be caught up in it if they don't take responsible actions to manage those risks. We are shareholders in this company. We want them to be successful. We want our investment in them to be protected and to be sustainable for the long term. And so all that we are looking for, again, very big picture, is some assurance and some sense that they are taking appropriate steps as a board and as an executive team to prepare themselves and to protect us from this very large and growing national issue.
Great. Thank you. And, Sarah, Kelly, I thought I'd just open it up to you if you have any other remarks or anything else that you would like for shareholders to keep in mind when they're voting on this resolution.
Well, this is Sarah, and thanks so much for inviting us to join on the podcast. I have to say Treasurer Magazine has done a great job of summarizing really what we're looking at as far as the big picture here. What are the risks? And we're looking at a time of political uncertainty that adds more risk to the student debt crisis. What is the conversation about this going to cause in Washington? How are politicians going to react? How are regulators going to react? And how does that impact the bottom line and shareholder value? We want to know why, what the company is looking at in this broad context of growing social importance with this issue. And we want to know how that's going to, how they think it will impact us and how they are preparing at that high level, at the board level, at the executive level, to deal with risks that even, young and untrained people who just have student loans, never held a stock in their life, can say, oh, this company might be a problem down the line because I don't know if I can pay my bills. I don't know if my friends can pay their bills. And as the company becomes more complex with its various subsidiaries that have gotten into regulatory and legal issues like Pioneer Credit Servicing, for instance, losing its contract over Service Member Civil Relief Act violations, that was big deal. And it was the same year that we, as longtime Navient shareholders, had asked for a report on internal controls. And, you know, this is along similar lines. And, you know, I think that what happened with Pioneer really illustrated what could be happening here. And the board's dismissal of this as an issue is very concerning. The student debt crisis is real. CEO Jack Remondi has actually talked about the student debt crisis, and we want to know what the company is doing to make sure that shareholder value is not going to be compromised as this crisis develops and becomes more of a social policy issue.
Great, thank you. That was really insightful. And Kelly, did you have anything else that that you wanted to add about this issue?
Sure. The only other thing I'll add, because I think we covered a lot of ground here, and I think everyone did an excellent job, is, you know, as you're considering voting your proxy at Navient, we would be happy to share any research we've come across over the past few years. Happy to further discuss our rationale in pushing this resolution. Anytime, so feel free to reach out to our office if we can assist.
Great. And what is the best way for people to get in touch with you if they do want more information on this?
Sure. So it's just you can email me at kelly.rogers, R-O-G-E-R-S,
I'm sure our clients are very appreciative of that offer. This is a very big and complex issue, and it seems like there's a lot of moving parts to it. So, you know, we really do appreciate you guys taking the time to talk to us and for participating in this call. You know, I know that this is a very busy time for everybody. You know, having this broken down for us was really, really helpful. If anybody would like a link to this audio or would like to view our show notes, please go to our website at www.glasslewis.com, and you can also access this recording at the Glass Lewis blog. For more information, please email proxytalk@glasslewis.com. If there's ever an annual special meeting coming up that you think warrants special attention and would merit some discussion with your colleagues, please don't hesitate to email us. Also, if you have comments or questions about Proxy Talk that you wish to share with us, your feedback is always very much appreciated and will be taken into account when we have our future recordings. Thank you so much and have a great day.
This recording should not be considered a solicitation of proxies by Glass Lewis. Glass Lewis has not sought permission to do so from the SEC, nor will it. This recording is for information purposes only and should not be construed as providing investment advice. In addition, Glass Lewis makes no representation regarding the accuracy, completeness, or reliability of any statement of any of our speakers in this recording. If you have any questions, please contact us via our website, www.glasslewis.com.